Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the Old Testament reading, the prophecy of Zechariah in the 9th chapter, where first we hear these opening verses at verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And in verse 12 it says, return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare I will restore to you double. This is God's word. And in God's word, Zechariah paints a picture of a king unlike any other. Not a king who rides on a war horse, not a king who flexes military might, not a king who demands tribute, but in gentle humility, he comes to save. And then Zechariah says this king has a message to declare. He shall speak peace to the nations. Not just to Israel, not just to the faithful, not just to the people who already know him, to the nations, to all people, the entire world. In the immediate wake of the 4th of July and in the middle of our ongoing 250th anniversary celebrations, we hear these words of peace with a certain ache in our hearts, because we know how fragile peace is. We know how quickly unity can fracture. We know how easily nations and people can turn inward and suspicious and fearful and angry. But Zechariah's promise is not about what nations can accomplish. It's about what this king accomplishes. The king who rides a donkey into Jerusalem, the king who stretches out his hands on a cross, the king who rises from the dead and breathes peace on his disciples, Jesus Christ, is the king who brings the only peace that lasts. I'm glad to say Lutheran teaching, call it Lutheran theology if you like, has a particular gift to bring to days like the 4th of July, to bring to days like the 250th anniversary of our nation. We call it the teaching or the doctrine of the two kingdoms. In the left-hand kingdom, God rules through governments, laws, vocations, earthly authorities. This is where nations rise and fall, where constitutions are written, where armies defend, where courts judge, where citizens vote, where leaders rise and sometimes fall. The left-handed kingdom is the state. It's the realm of laws. In the right-hand kingdom, God rules through his word and sacraments. Here he forgives sins, creates faith, gathers his people, and brings a peace that the world cannot give. The right-hand kingdom is the church, the hand that holds the cross, where grace rules the day. Both kingdoms are God's. Both kingdoms are gifts, but they are not the same. And the trouble begins when we confuse them, when we expect the government to do what only Christ can do, or when we expect the church to become a political instrument to be used by someone else. Just a glance at history reveals that when the church tries to do the state's job, or the state tries to do the church's job, things go bad, even with the best intentions. The United States, 250 years old this year, is a remarkable nation, a nation with a history of courage, great sacrifice, innovation, ideals that have inspired millions, if not billions, of people around the world. And yet it remains the left-hand kingdom. And that kingdom cannot save. It cannot redeem. It cannot bring the peace that Zechariah is talking about. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. The 4th of July, the 5th, and really any day that you would choose, is a day to give thanks for the blessings of our earthly home. And the truth is, God's people have always done this, no matter where they are. The prophet Jeremiah told the exiles in Babylon. Babylon, of all places, if you know Bible history, you know Babylon's history. And yet the prophet told the people, seek the welfare of the city where I am sending you. St. Paul told the Romans to honor the governing authorities. Think about that. To pray for Roman officials. Martin Luther himself said that good government is one of God's greatest earthly gifts. So today, let us give thanks for the freedoms that we enjoy, for the sacrifices made by generations before ours, for the ideals of freedom and liberty, for the ability to worship here, right now, without fear, for the opportunities that our nation provides. These are profound gifts. Our nation's sons and daughters have fought and died to preserve these blessings. And if we are being candid, we would admit we simply expect these things to be true. We assume they just apply to us as a matter of course, but they always come at a very high price. That being said, again, we need only study history to remember that even the greatest nations can be here today and gone, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually. Early Christian convert and pastor, St. Augustine, compared earthly kingdoms to tents pitched on the road of history. They serve their purpose, he said, and then they pass. It's only the kingdom of Christ that is promised to last into eternity. And of Jesus the Christ, the prophet Zechariah said, he shall speak peace to the nations. Now let's break that down. It's not he shall negotiate peace, nor is it he shall enforce peace. It's not even he shall inspire peace. He, the king, shall speak it. He shall declare it. He shall create it. And properly defined, the peace Jesus brings is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of reconciliation. Reconciliation between God and humanity, and then between people. And this peace is not achieved by treaties or elections or military strength. It is only achieved by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And here's the thing. This peace is not fragile. It does not depend on public opinion or majority vote. It does not shift with political winds. It's anchored in the resurrection of Christ. And this peace is for all nations, which means it is for us. In 1863, during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln wrote a letter to a grieving mother who had lost not three, not four, five sons in battle. And in it he wrote, "I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement." Lincoln was painfully aware that human leaders can instigate war, but only God can heal hearts. Even at the height of national conflict, Lincoln pointed beyond the nation to the God who alone can bring peace. Whether Lincoln knew it or not, that's the Lutheran instinct. He did know that is the Christian confession. And that is Zechariah's promise. Zechariah ended this section of Scripture today with a phrase tailor-made for Christians living in any nation at any time, including ours. He writes, "Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope." Prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope. We are not prisoners of fear. We're not prisoners of political anxiety, nor are we prisoners of nostalgia or even despair. We are prisoners of hope, captured and held and sustained by the promise of Christ's peace, bought and paid for by His suffering for us, His death for us, His rising for us, and His ascension to His throne to rule for the sake of His kingdom. And because that's true, because we belong to Christ's eternal kingdom, we are truly free. Truly free to serve faithfully in our earthly kingdom. We're free to love our neighbors, backing that up with action. We're free to pray for our leaders, no matter who's in office at a given moment. We're free to seek the good of our communities. We are free to disagree without hatred. Free to hope without fear. Because our King has come, and our King is reigning now, because our King brings, speaks, carries His peace to the nations. Therefore, we celebrate. We celebrate with gratitude the blessings of the United States of America, with humility about its limits, with responsibility in our vocations as good citizens, with clarity about the difference between the left and the right-hand kingdoms, with confidence that Christ's kingdom is unshakable, and with the expectation and the joy that our true King has come, humble, riding on a donkey, righteous and having salvation, speaking, conveying, pouring out peace that no nation can give and no nation can take away. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, the nation you have blessed, may well your love declare. From foes and fears at rest, protected by your care, for this bright day, for this fair land, gifts of your hand, our thanks we pay. In Jesus' name, amen.